world. If you don't expect that much from me, I might not let you down. I originally wrote it and posted it on May 3rd, 2010. In case you haven't guessed it yet from these ramblings, I wasn't always a very responsible person. I never really minded it, though, because no one relied on me and no one ever asked me to do anything, because they knew that I would find some way to screw it up. It was actually really liberating, because there was never any expectation or pressure, and Fat Camp was no exception. There was a guy that worked there that looked just like the boards I'd pick on the label of cold cuts. I know that might possibly come across as mean or insulting, but I'm not even kidding. I'm not ready to walk down any runways yet either, and no one will put this face on a magazine cover, but he really does look just like that logo. I mean, he's also 6'4" and extremely overweight, which didn't help his image in any way either. I guess there are worse things you could look like. Okay, there really aren't many things that you can look like that are worse than the poor set pig, but that's not really the point anyway, is it? He was considered more responsible than me for some reason, so they sent him and I to get the bread, because the chef's delivery got delayed and the kitchen needed it for lunch, and they really didn't trust me to go by myself. It was a 20-minute drive that should have taken us no longer than an hour to get there and back. They were about to find out, but I wasn't the only irresponsible one. We didn't even make it out of the front gate before we lit up a joint. Although, in my defense, you had to be stoned in order to drive that van. It was a huge, 15-passenger white monstrosity, and when behind the wheel in there, it always felt like you were driving a big rig. It took every bump and pothole like a gunshot, and that thing rocked back and forth while driving. Granted, it was soothing if you just smoked up and were a passenger in the back of it, but while piloting it, it felt like you were playing a video game in the windshield with a screen. So we get down to the corner, and just as I'm daydreaming about what goodies I'll get at the supermarket to snack on, Boar's Head announces that we aren't going to the supermarket at all. We're going to the Hostess outlet instead. No, I'm certainly not one to argue with logic like that, and the very thought of all those Twinkies brought a huge smile to my face instantly, as it is again right now. I got to the Hostess outlet, and I was like a kid on Christmas morning. I literally got out of the van and started running into the store like I was on the Amazing Race. We got two shopping carts and started putting as much in our mouth as we were putting into each of the carts. It was a fat kid's wet dream. There were Twinkies and Suzy Q's and what seemed like hundreds of flavors of fruit pies, which I don't even eat, and I don't even like them, but I started opening and eating them anyway. And snowballs and ding-dongs and everything. All the people who passed in the store were staring at us. Sort of like we were celebrities that they just couldn't quite recognize or place. It seemed to make the most sense to me at the time. But it was because of his obvious spitting image resemblance to the Boar's Head Pig logo. That's right, they were staring. But then I quickly realized it wasn't looks of curiosity. It were actually looks of disgust. The sight of me and Boar's Head strolling up and down each of those aisles with overflowing carts. Which were overflowing with just our snacks, by the way, that we were eating. We hadn't even started to get what we actually came for. And that was apparently repulsive to some people. Each of our faces and shirts were covered in chocolate and crumbs. The little bit of the soda that I'd spilled from the liter bottle of Diet Pepsi that I brought in with me. But we weren't doing anything to dispel the stereotype against fat people in a Hostess outlet by any means. Those were the best Suzy Q's I ever had tasted before or since, though. We literally filled that enormous 15-passenger empty van with bread, rolls, buns, all of our Suzy Q's, fruit pies, and assorted junk foods, and I carved out a nice little spot between the fresh Italian breads stacked neatly on the second-to-last seat for a tiny little nap. I woke a little bit later to the Boar's Head slamming on the brakes, forcing the breads and me to go flying off the seat. Cupcakes were everywhere and ended up getting smushed when I landed on them. I made my way up to the passenger seat to find Boar's Head chugging a half gallon of skim milk, which he actually told me later with a straight face, mind you, and he was dead serious, that skim milk has fewer calories in it, which I took to mean that he sort of evened out with the 4,000 calories and counting from Hostess that he had just consumed. And then he asked if I wanted a sip. No thanks. Where did you even get that? You barely stopped off for gas and go to the Global Mart. Where are we? I looked around at the houses on this random street and who knows where. Timmy's house. As if I should have known what that meant. Timmy who? I can't tell you his last name. Come on and don't say anything. What happened next was like something out of a bad 70s Cheech and Chong movie. A normal person that wasn't coming down off the drugs and sugar high would have stayed put in the van, but I was getting a little nauseous from all that chocolate and I needed to get out of that van. We walked around the corner and down the block because apparently we weren't allowed to park in front of Timmy's house. All these rules. We went around the block and came up to a random house and walked up to a side door, and Boar's Head knocked softly. Timmy, late 30s, long hair, very dirty looking, opened the door and looked around, searching the area and whispering about, "Who am I?" before he let us in. "He's with me. He talks a lot, but he's okay," Boar's Head said. It wasn't really wrong. Certainly it was a rude comment, but it wasn't really wrong, so I didn't say anything. Besides, I had no idea why everyone was whispering. We entered a normal-looking house with his mother, or I presume it's his mother, an old lady in the kitchen, and she was almost 60, cooking something. We passed through the living room and went down the hallway toward the back of the house. This bedroom, or what I thought was a bedroom, had a huge padlock on it. Who puts a padlock on a door inside their house when they live with their mother? Was she a cop or something? When he opened the door, it was far from a bedroom. It was more like an arboretum in there. This huge room or walk-in closet had been converted into a greenhouse, and there were tons of lights hanging from the ceiling over the lot of plants, and what looked like a bathroom exhaust fan on the ceiling. And there were tables of plants and scales everywhere with small, clear plastic bags strewn about. It didn't feel offensive, just overpowering. Some people would have gotten it right away because it should have been obvious, but I was like, what's with all the plants? Do you like gardening or something? Before it clicked in my head that Timmy was obviously a drug dealer. That's who puts a padlock on the inside door of a house he lives in with his mother. Poor Ted made a fist at me and told me to shut the fuck up so I didn't piss Timmy off. Of course, my curiosity got the best of me, and as they were conducting business, I couldn't help but touch the scales and walk around to check everything out. Sure, I'd gotten drugs before, but never actually I hadn't seen the operation like this. Timmy, does your mom live with you? It's nice to have company, isn't it? I instantly asked, to which she replied, it's obviously her house. Why the fuck else would she be in the kitchen cooking? I replied, why do you live with your mother? To which she replied, Boris said, what's with him? My mother gets lonely when she gets by herself, and it helps me save money on rent. I had actually never heard a drug dealer cry poverty before, and I guess they always thought they were rolling in it like in the movies and, you know, can afford to live in any type of place they wanted. But it shows me how wrong it is to assume. From the looks of his clothes in this town, they weren't making anything. There really wasn't much in the way of conversation after that. We stayed for about an hour or two, and I started to lose track of time again. Invested out all his bonds, and I gotta tell you, that was some good shit. Timmy's not much for friendly conversation, but he has a real green thumb. As we stumbled back to the van for more hostess delight, Forbes had proceeded to rip me a new asshole about asking Timmy if he liked gardening. Are you a fucking moron? Do you want to get your ass kicked? By who? Timmy's hot mother? I maturely replied, which set us both into hysterics. Needless to say, Timmy told Forbes had later on never to bring me back to his house. After a trip to McDonald's and Burger King, because we couldn't stop arguing over which one had better french fries, and another tiny little nap with a smushed cupcake for me, we headed back to the camp. We pulled into the entrance about 6:30 p.m., and keep in mind, it was after 10 a.m. that morning. We were only supposed to be gone for an hour, and headed over to the kitchen. The chef came running out from the serving dinner and started screaming, which I didn't appreciate at all, of course, that he needed that bread for lunch at noon, and we come back hours later and we didn't even get the bread he wanted, just a truck full of shit. Also, why do we bring back all the junk food to a weight loss camp? Talk about an ungrateful person. Two people do you a favor and go to the store for you, and that's how you respond? You think he didn't get it? Imagine how the bookkeeper felt when we gave her the receipt for almost $600 worth of junk food and stuff that couldn't even be used. Some people just don't understand the munchies. Needless to say, in addition to them not trusting me already, they never sent him on an errand again after that, and Boris had never let me go back to Timmy's house. Timmy actually told Boris that if he ever found out that I was talking about his setup and where it was, as if I had any idea where the hell we were, he would finally beat the shit out of me. So if you ever run into a dirty-looking guy in jeans and a sweatshirt with really good shit and his mother's in the kitchen cooking, don't mention my name.